Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But if you show up Thursday morning at 10 and the Red Sox haven't done anything, that is just an absolute disaster.
We do not have any announcements. We did not make any trades.
Dale Arnold.
Oh, and don't forget,
they will make a move.
Inside that, scoop?
No, that's a guarantee.
I think if we were closer to first place, I would have been more open-minded to some of the other things.
You need a closer?
Rich Keene.
You cannot believe the number of clubs that called me about our bullpen guys.
That's wrong.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Can you believe it?
No chance.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Bottom of this hour, 12:30, we'll talk with the Red Sox president of baseball operations. Dave Dombrowski will join us. And OMF will be at Fenway Park today. And they were supposed to be at Fenway Park yesterday with the trade deadline approaching. The whole Alex Cora interview with OMF got postponed for a day, so they're at Fenway today, and Alex Cora will join them at 2:30 today.
Now, do you think what the Red Sox did yesterday, or
did they do anything?
Or what they didn't yesterday, do you think it was more a slap in the face to Red Sox fans or a spit in the face of Red Sox fans?
It's one or the other. Goose or pork?
Yeah,
is it,
well, kind of. It's a new kind of measuring stick. Because my first thought was, oh, this is a slap in the face, but it might be a spit in the face, because this is a team that, even despite the record, 59-50, which is not what anybody really thought after 109 games, they have a chance to repeat as World Series champions, and they feel like they don't. Like, they have the best offense in baseball.
I'll play devil's advocate.
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
I'll play devil's advocate. Let's say the Red Sox went out and got a bullpen arm. Whoever it was. I don't even know, but let's just
Shane Green.
Okay, let's say Shane Green. How would you feel about their chances against the Houston Astros after what they did yesterday?
I would say the Astros would still be favorite, but I think the Red Sox have a chance. I was surprised. We'll talk to Dombrowski coming up at 12:30. I understand that the one-game play-in is not ideal. It's not like making the wild card years ago where you were guaranteed a series. But I was shocked just how different their approach is, because he even admitted if they were closer to first place, they would have probably done something. But they aren't, and they're playing for the one-game play-in. Yeah, but you're still – I guess maybe he doesn't view it as a playoff game. Like, and maybe a lot of people, maybe GMs around the league, don't view it as a playoff game. It feels like the other GMs that were competing for that same thing also felt that way. Cleveland made moves. Tampa Bay made moves. Oakland made a move. They all, same with last year, all those wild card teams. Remember Seattle and Oakland, even those teams were making moves trying to get into the playoffs, and it seems like that's not important to them this year.
All right, I'll even play the game. Let's say the Red Sox get into the one-game play-in.
Yeah.
Who's your starting pitcher?
Probably Price. Probably David Price right now.
I'd pitch Eduardo Rodriguez.
Ugh. They've been pretty good when he's out there.
I feel better about their chances. And we're talking about, you know, one and done. Mm-hmm. Win, you're in. Lose, you go home. I'd pitch Rodriguez, and that tells you a lot.
Do you think maybe that's their biggest issue, is we can get into the one-game playoff, but we don't have any faith in any of our starters to win that game? But guess what? If you added a bullpen arm or two, now that guy, there's less pressure on him to even have to throw six or seven innings. If he throws five, it's not ideal, but it's a do-or-die, must-win game. Guess what? You can throw two of the starters in that game if you have to. But at least you know who you're handing the ball to at the end. Like, so to your question about how would I feel against Houston, probably not great, but much better if they had a bullpen than if they do now. And then now, the Red Sox can score runs. I know Verlander, Cole, and Greinke are awesome. But guess what? The Red Sox can score runs, I think, against anybody. It's just a matter of, can they protect a lead?
The site Boston Sports Info, which I quote from time to time, they do some really interesting statistical stuff. They broke down this. In games when either Chris Sale or David Price start, those games, Sale or Price starts.
It's like 42 games.
And they're playing against teams, I'll even take it further.
Okay.
They're playing against teams with a 500 record or better.
Okay, winning teams.
They're 5-15.
Ugh.
Their run differential in those 20 games is minus 35. That's your top two aces. The cornerstone of your rotation.
So they're 5-15. Now, I don't...
Overall, you're right. In 42 games, they're 17-25.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's brutal. I mean, if they're just 500, they're in the playoffs, right? They're below... As a combination, they're below 500, which is outrageous. But my other question, I guess, would be, if that's their record against winning teams, I don't even know if you have the information here or not, but how many of those blown saves that the team has had were in those games?
Of the 10 team losses, they've lost 10 games via a blown save.
Yeah.
Seven have been in either Sale or Price games.
So, again, everybody's numbers would be a little bit different.
Yes.
Right? Not that you're going to go through a whole year with zero blown saves. I get that. But this is... They lead the league there. They have the worst save percentage in all of baseball.
But
those guys' numbers would be a little bit better.
But I guess my point here, and this is a weird way of actually, and I'm, again, playing devil's advocate. If I'm Dave Dombrowski, and I'm looking at, and I've got this plus, 100 other things I'm looking at, I'm saying, what difference does it make if I go get Shane Green? If that keeps going the way it's going.
The difference to me would be if they save all those games, that's a seven-game swing. So seven more wins, seven less losses. That's a huge swing.
But even in the games that that don't involve blown saves,
yeah.
Your top two starters against teams above 500 are 5-15, team is.
Yeah, listen, those guys have not been very good. But, I mean, I guess you could make the case that last year, Chris Sale... By the end of last year, you had to pick and choose how you used them, and you were still able to find a way to win. I just feel like, okay, fine. If you think those two guys suck so bad that you can't rely on them, then why didn't you trade away pieces? You're like you're kind of half in, half out right now. I made the analogy.
Yeah, but
before.
I don't want to blow it up. I mean, I
why not?
But, well, if, again, I'm Dave Dombrowski.
I'm
assuming this isn't what they're like forever. They're having a bad year.
Who, Price and Sale?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, if I'm Dave Dombrowski, I gave Chris Sale a whole bunch of money that starts next year.
Yeah, no, I know. And I think that was a bad contract, and I think that's been proven out so far. But, all right, maybe you don't trade away Mookie Betts. I mean, that's like the nuclear part of it. But why don't – if you really got calls about all your bullpen arms, why don't you trade some of them? You don't think you're going to win right now. If that's the thought is that – our starters aren't good enough. If we make it to the one game play-in, we have no faith in any of those guys to start that game. Well, then why didn't you do anything?
By the way, when I say I'd start Rodriguez, they wouldn't.
No, they would start either Price or Sale.
They'd start Sale.
Yeah,
probably. And the assumption here is everybody's available. You get to decide. I would start Rodriguez. My guess is if I'm Alex Cora, I'd probably start Chris Sale.
I would start. Oof, God. I would start David Price. It might also depend on you. Let me know what each of their last two starts look like. Like, is anybody on a hot string something? Like, get it.
And I'm playing this game in a bit of a vacuum. Saying you got to decide who's gonna pitch your one game play in.
I mean, if they're both available, you might use them both, based on what the current bullpen is.
Use an opener.
It's been done in a wild card game before. So I don't know. I just still think that this team, by doing nothing, was such a weird message to send, because again there was a couple of different options. You either add to the team and help the team, that would be the equivalent of going for it on fourth down, Dale.
Yeah.
Or you trade away guys, that is punting. This was delay a game. This was is there a waiver deadline? It's like, no, there isn't. Like, oh shoot,
I don't believe that they could ever punt. I just don't think in this town that you could do that. I don't think with this payroll being what it is, you couldn't just sell off things. You know what? Screw it. We're not going to win anything anyway. Let's get rid of this guy and this guy and this guy.
Gonzalez and Crawford kind of like that? But people wanted them gone.
Right.
But like that was sort of, okay, this isn't working. And it ended up working pretty quickly thereafter. But that was sort of an admission of, all right, here's some good players, some high-priced players, and we're getting rid of them for Ruby De La Rosa and Alan Webster. Like, we don't care what we're getting back.
What you were doing there was dumping $250 million dollars in salary.
Right. That's what you're doing.
Because you then thought you could spend that money more efficiently and do a better job helping your team going forward.
Right. But I stand by it because we've been sort of, checking in on what the Red Sox are going to do. Back, a few weeks ago, they had Andrew Cashner, and then they're approaching the deadline. And just the worst case scenario was what happened, was nothing. You did nothing.
I played devil's advocate I didn't.
No,
want,
you're not buying it.
I didn't want Dave Dombrowski to do what he did yesterday, which was nothing.
Right, yeah, yeah.
I wanted them to go get a bullpen arm, some kind of help for this bullpen, because I think this bullpen needed it. I know Dombrowski told us on the show last week that he was not under any restrictions from ownership in terms of the luxury tax. I think he was.
I bet he was.
I think that, you know, okay, you could go make a deal, Dave, but this is how much you've got to play with, because we're already well over the luxury tax. We were, you know, we paid the penalty last year. We don't want to do this every single year unless you could come to ownership and say, if I make this move, you win the World Series.
I do feel like the guys that were traded yesterday, the relief pitchers who were traded yesterday, and some of the other ones that weren't traded but were rumored to be traded, weren't crazy contracts anyway. Like, you probably still would have been under the luxury tax and made those moves. Now, I guess you can really argue over how much of an impact Daniel Hudson or Nick Anderson or guys like that make. But at least it's somebody. It's adding somebody different. Because I think what's frustrating to a lot of fans, and myself included, is they don't make any moves for guys like that, but then in the same press conference talk about, well, you know, we got some guys down in Pawtucket that, you know, they might come back. It's like, well, what? What are they doing in Pawtucket? Like, why do you? They weren't working here.
Yeah.
But now they're going to figure it out all of a sudden. Like, that's a much tougher sell than maybe a reliever from another team that you haven't heard of, but you're like, hey, they identified this guy, and maybe he's going to come in here and, you know, have a Nathan Eovaldi type of impact at the second half of the year.
And the other part of this, and we've talked about this from Dombrowski's perspective, from Alex Cora's perspective. And Alex Cora is more forthright than most. You know, there are things he can say and things he can't say. But he said after the game last night, you know, about Porcello, he said he knows, everybody knows what we have to do. It's obvious. We know where we're at. We're in a big hole. If you're Dombrowski, it's not like you could have gone out and gotten Zach Greinke, because that he wasn't coming here. He would not have approved that trade.
Do you know that for a fact, or you're guessing?
Well, he had a list of 15 teams
he
couldn't go to.
Do we know that they were on there?
I know the Yankees were.
Okay.
I don't know. Chances are real good that they were on that list.
Yeah.
So you were going to have this rotation anyway. And if this rotation can't figure it out, you got no chance.
No, I know. But
no matter what bullpen moves you made.
But again, the bullpen, they both help each other, right? The overall numbers, the bullpen's going to look better if the starters go deeper into games.
Yes.
And the starters are going to look better if the bullpen protects some of their wins. Like, Sale and Price both have a couple more wins each. Again, neither one would be confused for a Cy Young winner, but both would have a couple extra wins if the bullpen could just hold on to it. And then there's a trickle down. And guess what? If both guys had a couple more wins, let's just put the number at 4, even though I know there were 7 blown saves, the team's blown 10 or whatever it is. 4 more wins, what does that put you in the playoffs? Right? There's a difference there. And then if they're in the playoffs, it sounds like Dombrowski would have added to the team more. Like, it's just, you end up going crazy when you think about it, because you didn't have a closer at the beginning of the season. If you did, you're probably closer to winning the division or guaranteeing a playoff spot. So then you wait to now, and then you don't get it because you're not close enough. It's like, well, what the hell's going on?
I'm looking at the list of Sale and Price starts against teams above 500. And we talked about they're 5-15
like
in these 20 games.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm looking at innings pitched in those games.
Oh,
and this includes last night. 4 1/3 last
night.
It's
not pretty.
5 1/3. 6.
Ooh,
6.
6.
5. 4 2/3. 5. 6. 6 1/3. 6. 6. 2/3 of an inning.
Well, that was tough.
6.
Oh, that was the one where didn't he have like the sniffles or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, they ended up losing 4-3.
Yeah,
6. 5 1/3. Oh, 7. That's back on April 28th Chris Sale lost the game, but went 7 innings against Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Then 6-5-5-6-6. Those are your aces.
There's more sixes on there than I thought, to be honest, Dale. Nobody throws complete games. Nobody throws 8 innings anymore. So, I mean, for Sale and Price, you're hoping to get 6. But the reality is, even last year, he tried to make sure those guys were firing on all cylinders at the end of the year. How many times did Sale easily could have cruised into the 7th or 8th, and he took them out? And we said, all right, well, they're trying to make sure he's strong at the end of the year. Now, it didn't work for Sale. You can make a case that maybe it did for Price because he pitched really well in the playoffs. But part of it is, I think best case scenario, those guys probably don't hit 7 innings too often. Or maybe that is the number. But 8 innings is like, that's outrageous. And a complete game is a unicorn.
It just doesn't happen.
No. doesn't happen.
And, you know, maybe Dombrowski and his baseball ops staff were being realistic and saying, it doesn't matter who I go get. But because if this starting staff doesn't turn it around, yeah, it doesn't matter.
But see, I think it does matter because, all right, say the starter goes six innings. That's probably, the average is probably a little bit worse.
Feels less than
but
that,
but let's,
yeah,
let's say it's right around six, and you have two relievers that you like. All right, you're still kind of missing something. If you have three relievers that you like, now you have something, and God forbid you have four relievers that you like, and then you can definitely get through the rest of the game. And so I get it. Those guys, Sale and Price need to be better. Porcello, I've given up on. Like, forget about Porcello. Sale and Price, because you know when they're good, they're dominant. You need those guys to get back to that. But guess what? They're going to look better. Their overall numbers are going to look even better if you have more guys that you can trust in the bullpen. And throw them back-to-back days if you have to.
617-779-7937. Tim's in Newton. Hey, Tim.
Hey, guys. So my point's pretty simple. If the players holding your team back are the ones you expected to suck, then that's on the front office. The players holding your team back are the ones you expected to be good, then it's on those players. So this season, it's really on the starters outside of Erod, who's been good, and Dombrowski. It's not on the offense. Like, we're not 2.5 games back because Mookie and JD are hitting .290 instead of
.305. No, your offense is
right.
Your offense is fine.
You're right.
Yeah, it's on the, and it's not on the bullpen, honestly, because they were supposed to be atrocious. We all thought they would be terrible. So I mean, it's really on Dombrowski and the starters who were supposed to be good, and we're paying them like they were supposed to be good.
I understand your point, but I got to be honest, Tim. I probably fall more on the blame the rotation more than the bullpen side.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought you said it was on the bullpen.
Well, he's saying both. And I would look at
No. I'm not. It's not on the bullpen. I'm saying the bullpen is bad.
Is what you thought they were.
Yeah. I get that. Because you're not going to scream yourself hoarse at Matt Barnes or Marcus Walden.
Exactly.
You're going to be so mad at Marcus Walden, then that's a you problem. Right? It's like you're relying on him at all. I agree with you, Tim. Those are the guys that you have to look at because – and that's what's so frustrating. Again, I go back to this. I said this earlier, but the offense is so good – that you do need to buy in on this team. If it was a middling offense and yet they were still 59-50, but you said, what can this offense really do? Then fine, I can almost understand not making any moves and then maybe even selling off a couple of pieces. But when you have the best offense in baseball, you have Rafael Devers and Xander Bogaerts are both legit MVP contenders. They both
absolutely
are. Mookie Betts is back into the swing of things. He was the MVP last year. JD Martinez, top four in the MVP last year. Christian Vasquez, one of the hottest
hitting
catchers.
Having one of his best years ever.
Andrew Benintendi's woke up. That's six guys. Nobody has a lineup with six guys, or very few teams have a lineup with six guys that are getting things going. And every time Cora puts in a pinch hitter, I think was the stat yesterday, the pinch hitters are hitting like .350 for the Red Sox. Like, guys off the bench, like Sam Travis, are getting clutch hits. The offense
pinch hit
is
home runs.
Great. The offense should be rewarded with getting a reliever, helping them out a little bit.
Now, I said much of this is not Alex Cora's fault, but I am going to give him some blame, and I think they're going to revisit this in the offseason because it's too late now. The way they approached spring training last year with the starting staff, I think, has come back and bit them in the ass.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that this whole idea of, there's only so many bullets in the gun, we're going to save them, we're going to, ease them in, as opposed to building them up. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the way the staff as a whole has performed, you've got to at least look at that and say, you know what, that might not have worked.
Yeah, that might not have worked. And there was so much of the, hey, take a look at last year, and this is what we did last year. And there was that talk for a long time, like a couple months into the season. It was last year, we did it this way and want to make sure these guys are ready. Like, you put so much effort in the beginning of the year to making sure guys were healthy in September and October that you may not be playing in October. Like, those games, we say it every year. We're like, yeah, you might not know what your team is in April, but if you lose a bunch of games in April, it can come back to bite you. I know it's a long ways away, but you might lose. We can go back to a series in April, potentially. If they miss out on the playoffs by two games, you can go back to a series there and say, what was this?
And I'm not blaming Cora completely. I do think it was an organizational plan that they put in place, but Alex Cora is part of it. Dana Lavangie's part of it. The training staff is part of it.
Yeah.
The whole idea that we're not going to throw these guys in preseason. We're just going to kind of ease them in. And all of a sudden you're seeing them in April and May looking like spring training.
Right. And you're like, well, what is this? There's got to be some kind of a balance between not going nuts in spring, but also making sure they're ready to go.
You don't want to beat them to death.
No, you're not doing that.
You're not going
to
run them into the ground in Fort Myers in March.
But they need to be appropriately prepared for the season, and it doesn't seem like that was the case.
And don't you get the sense that, at least in Chris Sale's case, they're so worried about how he seems beat down when you get to August and September, and they're going, what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen?
Oh, yeah, you got to protect your investment there.
And they've got a huge investment.
And that problem was, so this is one of the many reasons why I didn't like the contract for Sale, was last year I felt like Alex Cora actually did a great job in trying to save bullets for Chris Sale. Remember the year before with John Farrell, not so much. They got the 300 strikeouts. It was a big deal. He was pitching a lot, and then he fizzled out. Cora really went out of his way, and it was almost worse. He ended up being on the DL more last year when he was saving them than the year before when he was pitching all the time. So I don't know. And then the scary part is you can't really rely on any of these guys to snap back in the final 2 months of the year, right? Like, this is the kind of season that he has had. Is all of a sudden, is he going to be able to go back into form and be the guy from last season, the first half? I don't know.
So Sam Kennedy was on this morning on the Greg Hill Show, and he said he understands, because, you know, he grew up here as well.
Yeah, yeah.
How frustrating it is for fans to hear, you know, Chris Sale talk about, you know, I got to be better. I wasn't good enough.
Oh, you hear it all the time.
And it is frustrating because you don't want to. On one hand, you appreciate the fact that he's accountable. He doesn't, you know, cast blame on anybody else. It's me. It's my fault. I've got to be better.
If he said that twice a year, let's say, it'd be so refreshing.
Oh, you'd say,
look at this
guy.
Good for him. This guy's the best. It was like, he's gone to this well like 8 or 10 times.
And he's been right all 8 or 10 times.
Yeah, well, a couple times.
But your frustration is, how about if instead of telling me you've got to be better,
true,
you are better?
I did think a couple of times he did it, and it was a little unnecessary. I want to say there was a game they lost 3-2, and he said I wasn't good enough.
Exactly.
I'm like, yeah, you kind of were. Like, that was a rare game where the offense didn't. Actually, he has not gotten as much run support as some of the other guys on the staff. But then there are plenty of other games where he does get rocked around a little bit, and then he's saying he's not good enough, and you have to agree with him.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get back to your calls in just a few minutes. But coming up in just a couple, we will talk to Dave Dombrowski, the Red Sox president of baseball operations, about what happened yesterday, the season in general, and what to expect going forward. We've also got Red Sox tickets to give away on Free Ticket Thursday. All of that is upcoming, but first, trending now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our Red Sox front office report is brought to you by Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. Red Sox President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski, joins us on the lines right now. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. Can I put myself in the category of Red Sox fan? And as a Red Sox fan, I'm going to admit to you, I was disappointed no move was made yesterday at the deadline.
Well, sure. I mean, that's, as a fan, I understand how those things go. I understand how that takes place. I think traditionally, and I understand, I've been dealing with that type of scenario for years. Fans always want you to do something, and sometimes the best moves in those situations you make are the ones you don't make. So sometimes I've traditionally made a lot of moves throughout my career, never been afraid to do so, but sometimes it just doesn't make sense to make moves based upon where you are or who's being asked for in trade acquisitions.
I'm sure you had a lot of reasons, but what was the biggest reason for not adding anybody to the bullpen?
Well, probably the biggest reason was that we just didn't feel the cost of acquisition of the players we were talking about was worth what people were asking us. So I think that's the biggest reason. We talked about a lot of numerous bullpen guys, since we're specifically talking about them, but bullpen guys. And talked about numerous ones with different organizations. Some of them, and of course, my list probably started at 50 names, and you're narrowing some of them down who you don't like quite as much, who are not, others who are not available. And then you start talking to clubs about ones that you think could help you. And Some of them got traded elsewhere. Some of them were in a position where we, in that sense, just didn't like the acquisition cost of some of them. And then we thought that others that maybe would be marginally better for us to help us, which, of course, anybody can get better. Again, we didn't like the price of acquisition for those players.
But so you guys at least admit that you needed help in the bullpen. That's right.
Well, I mean, I think everybody could, and I'll include ourselves, we can get better in the bullpen. We can get better in a lot of different places. I mean, no, the bullpen gets the focus. But and sometimes it comes internal. It doesn't always have to be external. But sure, there's a lot of different ways you can get yourself better. But yeah, we could be better in the bullpen. And as again, I think most organizations in baseball can.
Alex said before the game last night that everybody knows what the situation is here. Everybody knows that people have got to get better. But 109 games into the season, what gives you confidence that members of your rotation, for instance, are going to pitch better than they have so far?
Well, because I've seen it happen in the past. I've been in situations where all of a sudden guys are struggling at certain times and they straighten themselves out. You find something mechanically that helps them. Sometimes they just get on a roll where their command is better for one particular reason. Usually it is because their command and their pitch is better. They get a better feel of a certain pitch at a certain time. And I think I've been with clubs that have been down at this time of year that end up coming back and playing very well. I think a key there is health. I think that's very important. And if you have health, then you're in a position, which we do, you're in a position where you can find things to make guys better and get them back to where they need to be. Sometimes they settle into situations that they don't throw the ball particularly well for one reason or another, and you find the way to get them back there, which we're always working on, and all of a sudden they get on a roll.
I know every organization has kind of an ongoing self-assessment process that they undertake. When you look back at how spring training was handled with the starting pitchers, do you think you guys will reassess how that was approached?
Well, we'll talk about everything. This isn't the time of year in which we do that. We generally do that after the season is over. But I think we'll reassess a lot of different. And basically that happens, like you said, every year. We talk about the decisions that we're going to make going forward at the end of the season. And we also talk about ones that we've made that maybe we would change. So I'm sure we'll discuss that, and we'll discuss many other things. But this isn't the time of year in which we do that.
Now, yesterday you said that had the team been closer to first place, you would have been more open-minded as it came to trades. Is it fair to read that as you don't think this team is good enough to invest in?
No, I don't think that's fair at all. I think we're in a position where you have to be realistic where your situation is. I mean, we're really playing for. I mean, again, we want to win our division. It's still possible. You wouldn't bet those odds when you're 10 games behind at this time of the year. But it has happened. I've been with clubs that have been behind or ahead by those number of games, and that lead has changed going into August. So it does happen, but you don't bet those odds. But, no, I think our team is good enough. I think we're in a position where our talent is very good. I think it's just a matter that sometimes you may look at it differently if you're right there one game and the type of acquisition price, which may hurt, that maybe you're willing to deal with that hurt a little bit more if you're right there and you know you're going in for a five-game playoff rather than the one-game playoff. But we're really invested in trying to win, but you have to make those decisions in which you are giving up talent all the time and the basic for long-term versus short-term. And if anything, for me, if you're looking at what reputations would be, and I don't think people could swing back and forth when they look at it one way, usually it's that, okay, I'm willing to trade young players, and I am open-minded to it when I'm in those positions. But you also have to make deals that you think are logical, and we thought that the deals that were being asked based upon being 10 games behind and the incremental difference that they would make for us, for example, if you're going to trade a premium prospect who is relatively close to the big leagues for somebody that you might have for 2 months, and you're not so sure that you're in a spot where you're going into a one-game playoff, you're hoping to do that, well, you may weigh that differently if you figure, hey, this guy right now, we're definitely going for that five games. So you weigh a lot of different things in your mind. But no, by no means, we still believe in the talent. I believe in the talent of this club, and I think we have a chance to still do very well as we finish.
Do you think if you started the year with a closer, you would have been closer to competing for the division rather than being 2.5 games out of the second wild card spot?
Well, I can't answer that because you never know. And I know people always talk about that, but it's interesting because when you look around, first of all, the number of established closers that are there that have been successful or over the season, are probably quite limited. A lot of clubs end up changing what ends up taking place. And so we're in a position where it depends. If you tell me that we are in a position that we had a 40-save definitive guy that was on our club and it fit in, well, of course that would make you better. If you had Mariano Rivera on your club, you'd be a better club. But those guys aren't that available all the time. And some of the guys that the players that we're talking about in the wintertime, if you look around that people signed, I would say probably the majority of them have not performed very well. And we do like some of our guys in the back end of the bullpen. We just sort of decided to handle it where we would exchange different roles. But guys like Workman and Barnes, who have been with us all season long in those roles, have pitched extremely well for us. And I think right now those guys are at the back end of our bullpen. So and then you also have to be in a position, look, where there's no unlimited. We have a very high payroll and the highest in baseball and more than adequate to win. But we're in a position where you make decisions on who you're going to sign. Unfortunately for us, when we made the decision to sign Eovaldi, who we don't regret that decision, but he was hurt early in the year, and just we really haven't got any performance into him just recently. And we do think he'll help our bullpen. So there's a lot of different factors there. Again, give us Mariano Rivera in the back end, I think we would be better, but they're not always easy to find.
You said yesterday when you spoke to the media after the trade deadline expired that that enough assets have been allocated to this franchise to compete not only for a division but for a championship, and that there's been a proper allocation of things for you to utilize. Is that the message that ownership gave you as well?
No, not really. I mean, I think that we always talk about our financial situation and where our budget is going to be, of course. But I've also been in a position where, you know, last year we were in a situation that our payroll was also very large at this time of season. And we made some acquisitions and we made a decision to go over the CBT at that point, the highest level of the CBT, and even forfeit 10 picks in the draft and be in a position where we picked up some additional finances to go above the largest penalty. So I think you tackle that on an every year basis. You prefer never to do that if your choice would be, because you don't want to lose the draft choices. You don't want to pay the extra financial penalties. But we're very open-minded to doing that, and I think that's how ownership has been here since I've been here. They've been tremendous at providing those assets to us. And if you feel that this is where we are, they've been very open-minded. But I think you're also in a position, again, from my position, you don't want to go over those numbers if you don't have to.
Did winning the World Series last year impact either the offseason or the trade deadline? Was there less desperation because, hey, we just won the whole thing last year?
Well, no, I can't say the trading deadline. I don't think it affected whatsoever. I think, of course, it affected. I think it'd be, you know, wouldn't even be thinking if you didn't think that it affected the offseason, because, I mean, the players performed to a certain level, and we really did make an effort to try to bring those players back. And some of them didn't work bringing them back, not normally because of performance, but because of injury factors that we're talking about. So if you had to go back and say, well, would I allocate those resources to this particular player, and they've hurt all year, you'd say, well, that we'd allocate them somewhere else. But winning the World Series, sure, it affected who we brought back at that particular time. We brought basically back almost our whole team. So we made a concentrated effort to try to do that. And for us, we still have a chance to win. I mean, right now we're not in a wild card spot. We're not in a playoff spot. But we also have some quality players, and we still have 2 months to play.
As you noted yesterday, you know, with no waiver trade deadline anymore in Major League Baseball, whatever you bring to the table to help your major league club is either going to come through injuries getting better or the minor league system. From an injuries getting better perspective, who's in the pipeline to come back and help you?
Well, Brian Johnson's very close. He's coming back this weekend to help us, so he's in a position where he can come back and help us. Steve Pierce has the potential to come back at some point. So those are a couple guys that are in the injury factors that could come back and help us.
Mark Feinstein from the MLB Network, he reported yesterday that the Red Sox inquired about several relievers, but were told that teams liked prospects from other clubs more than Boston's, and the only way the Red Sox were going to get a deal done was to, quote, to do something stupid. Is there truth to that? Was it the minor league system? Because you have made a lot of trades of minor league guys for established players coming in. Was that the sense that you got, that other teams were looking at other minor leaguers that they like more?
No, I don't. I don't think that is an accurate statement whatsoever. I'm not sure. Maybe somebody told them that. But in general, no. We had plenty of players that people asked us about. In fact, probably names I would mention to you that you wouldn't even have any idea who they were, because they're not as prominently mentioned in our system. But no, we got asked about a lot of our players. We just chose not to include them in the deals.
Did you feel that you were close to pulling the trigger on anything yesterday, or did you feel you just weren't close?
Yeah. You never really know about that. I don't think we ever reached the point of being real close in the sense that you're going back and forth at the last second. But it's a situation where, again, sometimes people throw things at you at the last minute and kind of surprise you. But my instincts is that yesterday I don't think we ever came real close to any deal because we just chose not to give up the players that they were asking about.
Did any move yesterday surprise you? Maybe the Zach Greinke move?
Yeah, well, it surprised me at the last minute like that. I heard Greinke's name was out there and the potential existed, but anytime you have a guy like that move with the big dollars and a no trade to some clubs and see that take place at the last minute and the number of players they got back, it surprised me a little bit in that regard, but his name was there, so it wasn't shocking in that regard.
Were the Red Sox on his list of teams he couldn't be traded to?
I believe we were. I think there's 15 clubs that he had listed, so I don't know if Houston was on there or not, because sometimes you're on there and you still can get the deal done. I'm not sure if Houston was or was not, but I do believe we were, as most major markets were.
Dave, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
That is Red Sox President of Baseball Operations, Dave Dombrowski. I would almost guarantee the Yankees, the Red Sox,
yeah,
the Cubs.
I don't know how you can...
Philadelphia.
I don't know how you could... Yeah, probably. Yeah, yeah. All those top teams. But I don't know how you can spin it any other way than yesterday was a failure for the Red Sox, especially when Dave tells us that they started the process with about 50 different relievers that they wanted to some degree. Again,
right.
Some of them have been barely an upgrade, but still, they had a list of 50 relievers, and they ended up with, let's see, zero
then
of
none.
Them. They got none of them. So that is tough, but trying to spin it positive, I guess.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll give you an opportunity to respond to what you've just heard from Dave Dombrowski. And remember, Sox manager Alex Cora joins OMF live at Fenway at 2:30 today. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Six 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. He's unflusterable.
Who, me?
Well, you too.
Yeah.
No, you get flustered real easy.
Oh, that's right. Twice today, I think.
Already today.
Yeah.
Been flustered. Yeah. No, he is unflusterable.
Yeah.
He's been at it a long time.
He's done it forever, a bunch of different cities. Some with more interest than others, right? He's down in Florida, in Detroit, and here. But at the same time, like, he admitted that the team needed to get better. Like, again, he's not going to freak out at anything. But at the same time, you listen to his answers. They wanted to add bullpen help. They didn't want to have to give up a lot. Now, it's funny to me. So he rejected the Mark Feinstein report.
Did.
But at the same time, he might be saying that there's truth to it, too, because he said they got calls about their prospects, but yeah, just the, so maybe the prospects you didn't want to trade. Whereas
right.
Like last year, for example, they had enough to get Nathan Eovaldi and Steve Pierce and give up guys like Jalen Beeks and whatever else. So you send those guys away. You're able to get guys that help you. This year, because it's now been three straight years of trading away prospects for established players. Some of them have really worked. Like, you know, Craig Kimbrell and Chris
yep.
Sale and guys like that, you would make those trades again. Some of the other ones, maybe not. You'd like to still have some ammo left. Maybe you wouldn't do Drew Pomerantz. Maybe you wouldn't trade for Tyler Thornburg and some of those, whatever. But I wonder if their prospects, maybe the top couple of guys Those are who teams wanted. Then Dave said, well, what about this list? And at that point, the player said no. Because he said the biggest thing was acquisition cost. That's what he said, the number one reason for not
adding what it was going to cost you to get him. Now, and for instance, if there was some reports out there that, you know, if you wanted Edwin Diaz, it was going to cost you Jackie Bradley Jr. or
Benintendi or Benintendi or something.
And you know what? I probably wouldn't want to do that either.
Yeah, and I think if you just
if that's
take
what
it,
the price was for that.
Yeah, and I think there might have been some other guys that still could have been traded that weren't, and those teams just didn't find the right price. But if you just want to base it off of the guys who were traded, like Shane Green and Sam Dyson and Dan Hudson and Nate Robinson and all these different guys that got that did get dealt, they didn't cost a ton. I feel like the Red Sox probably could have made any one of those deals, or at least that's what I think. Now, maybe opposing GMs said, well, yeah, Bobby Dalbec's not going to get it done, and he's your second-best prospect. Right? Because I don't know the system of the of every team in the league that made these moves, like the Braves and whoever else. But I still think you don't start the process by identifying 50 relievers and then walk away with none. You can't spin that as a positive. You just can't. And I know he brought up Nathan Eovaldi, and you're right, that's a little bit different. They hadn't had him all year, and maybe he can get you some outs late in games. It's sort of a mixed bag so far since he's come back off the IL.
Well, and he's still, in his defense, he's still trying to build back up again.
Right. So, I mean, and maybe he'll help you out. Maybe he will. But I just thought it was too bad, because I think the team, again, the offense, they got multiple MVP candidates. They got a bunch of star players, some with very uncertain futures. Like, J.D. Martinez might not be on the team next year. Even Mookie Betts, I know he's got a year left, but he may not be on the team next year.
See, he's a guy that I think they'll make a real concerted effort at signing in the offseason. And if it seems clear that it's not going to happen, he's going to go to free agency, I think they'll trade him.
Yeah, so do I. So there's a chance that both those guys, two of your best players, your best player, and J.D. Martinez is up there, are gone after this year. And you had a chance to add a couple of bullpen arms and really make another run this year at it, and you didn't. You're not going to be terrible, you know, next year. You got Bogarts, you got Devers, you got Benintendi, you got some of the pitchers. You're not going to be terrible, but you had a real chance to try to repeat this year, and you're afraid to give up some of the minor leaguers, I guess.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We've got an hour to go. OMF will be live at Fenway Park for this afternoon's program. I know Lou and Mutt are on. I don't know who of the other two are on.
Interesting.
Oh, and Glenn. So Mutt's in for Christian today.
There you go.
So it's Glenn, Lou, and Mutt live at Fenway. And Red Sox manager Alex Cora will join them at 2:30. And then Lou will join me up in the broadcast booth with Joe Castiglione
tonight.
Busy
night for you guys.
We got nowhere else to go. And we'll tell you the numbers next hour, but chances are be a lengthy proceeding.
The average time of game when Dale's on the call will shock you.
It feels like six. It might be less.
It might be.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.